This is a life-changing message from New Light Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, let's join Dr. I.B. Hilliard.
All right, in our next portion, what we're going to look at, we're going to look at our differences now, and we're going to look at this partnership that God has given us, that you now have a partner. Let me begin to talk first about what God did in my life with this scripture in First Peter. It happened to me when my ministry was not going well. Nothing was going real well in my life. I was upset with God, mad with God, and so I asked God the big question. God, I may not be your best preacher, but I know I'm not your worst preacher. Why is my ministry struggling? Well, when I popped that question to God, then of course he had an answer. And so I was on a plane on my way to California, worked for a minister there in California. Was not Dr. Price. It was another minister. It's when I was in the Baptist church. And I was on the plane. I'm reading my Bible and my eyes fell on this scripture, 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being asked together the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. That jumped off the page, but I didn't want to hear that because, you know, Bridget was the problem. So I closed the Bible. I didn't want to read that. Picked up a magazine and flew on to California. Well, after we had our meeting with the minister that I worked for, it was a national ministry that was a soul-winning ministry, and I was the executive director here in Houston. And after that meeting, he said, look, I want all of you all, all my staff, my whole country, I want you all to go and support the ministry at this church. They're having a conference. I want you all to go there. So I'm being paid by them, so that's what I did. We went there. And so the guest minister came in. His text was the same scripture. Same scripture I just closed my Bible on that I didn't want to hear. And he taught all week long from this same scripture. Husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge. I had to sit there because I was being paid to be there. But I still didn't want to receive. So I was glad when that meeting was over. But the next week I had another meeting to go to in Dallas. And I was there in this conference in Dallas, and guess who was there? Same preacher. Guess what he preached? Same message. And then my heart broke. I got revelation. Well, God let me know that unless I dealt with my wife properly, that he wouldn't hear my prayers. My prayers would be hindered. That's why I tell every pastor it's tragic not to have a good home. If you don't have a good home as a pastor, you endanger the spiritual health of your church and all your members. When your prayers need to be effective so that your members, so that you can minister to your members, your prayers are being hindered because of your relationship at home. That's tragic. Several things in there. First of all, the Bible says, I need some knowledge. Well, I didn't have any knowledge. I just got married and did what I saw other miserable people do. I saw other miserable people because I didn't know anybody who was happily married. I just simply copied the behavior that I saw other miserable people have, and that is why I had a miserable situation. You did the same thing. Amen. And then I see in the scripture that the Bible says that we are heirs together. Well, I never saw myself as a partner with my wife. I never saw her as a partner, equal partner. She was excess baggage that I needed to get where I needed to go. I'm honest. Don't y'all look at me like that. That was in my dumb day. But that's what I considered her. I need a wife because I can't be a pastor without one. She's a pretty good candidate. So, okay, I'll let you come home for the ride. But look, you do what I want you to do. Go out, say what I want you to say, and that's it. Smile when I tell you, smile. Buy you a big hat, you sit there on anniversary day, and that's it. I'm running this. Didn't have no members either. Didn't have any members at all. But that was my thinking. So God let me know that I needed knowledge. And I had this desire for knowledge. And when you have a desire in your heart's right, God's going to bring in the company of the people that you need to know and the knowledge of what you need to know to make a difference. I had to because I used to try to treat Bridget as I treated all my other little girls. Issue her out money. quiet in the evening. You know, I issued her out money. She wouldn't stand for being treated like a child. She'd always say, I am not your child. You are not my daddy. She wouldn't go for it. I'm glad she did. So, you know, I perceived, you know, her wanting to stand up for who she was. I received that as the devil. I bind that. He's trying to hurt my ministry. That's what they're trying to do. Everybody said that was his dumb day. Now, the reason I'm very transparent is because I have a very good self-image. Bridget and I, we'll be very transparent before you because we know who we are. And we believe that if we share with you where we were, it'll help you. Amen, amen. Amen. So I used to, you know, shell out the little money to her. But I figured she needed to have. Because, see, I had some baggage when I went into my marriage. That my first marriage ended and I left away with nothing. That wasn't going to happen again. So I had to put me a little something away and I didn't want her to know where it was. But see, I'm going in it planning to fail. Amen, 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 amen. I know I hit a nerve. All right. Now, we're going to get to that part. You know, brothers, don't have your wife's name on the house. Don't have your wife's name on the check. Ladies got private checking accounts. See, the first few lessons was all right. There were little nice little lessons on building yourself. We're going to get down to the issues, the real issues. All right, now, so I came into the knowledge of why things were like they were. We loved each other, just couldn't get along. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We loved each other, just couldn't get along. I mean, after the bedroom experience, hell. You understand? Just terrible. All right, so I found out we were different. Physically, a man is different from a woman. What's that? Got that, brother? Yeah. Thank you, brother Lamar. Hit me. All right. Physically, we're different. Man is more stronger physically than a woman. He has more body mass. Got it? His skull is thicker. We all know that anyway. Men are more direct. Women are indirect. See, it's not just your husband that way. You think that's just your husband. It's all men. I tell these ladies all the time, it's not just your husband. You think he's doing it on purpose. He can't help himself. You see, men are very direct. We're very specific. You say, well, you do it all the time. And he said, no, not all the time. I didn't do it yesterday. I didn't do it the day before yesterday. So we totally leave the issue and we deal with the specific. You say it all the time. You know I didn't mean it, but you say it all the time. It is said that at birth something happens that our brains, we have some brain damage at birth. So that the right part of our brain doesn't develop to the same degree as the left. So men are more logical in their thinking and more factual. Women, on the other hand, are more emotional and they're very sensitive. Men are more aggressive. They have more violent dreams. 99% of the romantic books are read by women. Men don't sit around and read them, the romantic books. Need to, some of them, but 60% of a little boy's words are non-conversational. Watch a little boy grow up. 60% of his words are non-conversational. They're noises. We got, you know, watching our grandchildren is just amazing. Because, you know, we got one of our little grandchildren, she's talking to this, she's talking to that. And the little kid, I mean, he's making all kind of noises. Playing with his Power Ranger. A little girl's 100% of her words are normally conversational. She talked to little toys and talked to the dolls. And so she becomes more developed conversational than a guy does. Amen. A man said, it is said that a man speaks 12,500 words a day, and a woman speaks 25,000 words a day. So you see, when your husband gets home, he's through. He met his quota. He finished. See? He finished. See, now you would think that at home I do a whole lot of talking, don't you? See, I'm way past my quota. So I have to force myself to be conversational because it doesn't come natural with me. Amen. I have to force myself, and I give my family permission, you know, to bring me out of my cave when I go in my cave. Follow me? Because see, I close up with the Bible and some books and I'm fine for days, if I, you know, really. And they have to, I have given them permission to tell me, hey, hello, family, we're here. And I say, oh, okay, you don't care. I don't get offended by it because I want, you follow me? But I know they understand naturally how I'm made. You follow me? So, you know, and I've given them permission to do it, and they do it in a way where it's where I can receive it. Amen. So instead of telling your husband, you don't never talk to me, but you talk to everybody else. In the phone ring, you talk to your mama. And I tell you, you talk to so-and-so, but you don't never talk to me. You've heard him, you embarrassed him, he ain't gonna ever say nothing to you. And when a man wants to, he can be very cold. He can sit there in the house and not say a word. Look at you as though you're not there. And then you go, oh, you're going to talk to me. All right. That is why, listen to this, men, you need to understand this. That is why our children are drawn more to their parents, to the woman for conversation and sympathy. It's not that she's training the children against you. Yeah, I know you're training the church. They don't ever come to me. If you knew you, you wouldn't come to you. You understand? So, brother, see, you can't think that your wife is training your children against you because your children are drawn. See, your child cut themselves and they come in the house bleeding. First thing you think is, don't get that blood on the carpet. If I pay too much for this carpet. Don't you be getting that blood on. Hey, boy. Whereas mama don't care. I mean, she'll get the blood all over her, all over everything, and she's loving the baby, and the blood is going in, and you're going, ooh, give me something to get this blood up. Hey. How many know I'm right? Men have a conqueror's mentality. That's why we act like we act when we're driving somewhere. See, when we're driving somewhere, we're really racing. It's a race, really, because we don't want nobody to pass us. We want nobody to pass us. We don't even know them people. We don't want to pass us. So, and that's why we don't want to stop. Because if I stop, they're going to pass me. I can't stop. They're going to pass me if I stop. So, can't y'all hold it? We're going to be where we're. Come on, has that ever happened to y'all? I mean, you sitting there, you want your husband to stop. You want to enjoy this thing. Let's pull over and get something. He going, no, I can't stop. Brother's in a race, I'm telling you. He has picked somebody that he is not going to let beat him to the next town. So now all the children sit there going, and he said, y'all hold it, y'all hold it. Oh, boy. Ephesians chapter 5, turn that with me. Amen. All right, now. So men have this conqueror's mentality. You follow me? So we can kill Bambi. That's why we make good hunters. We'll go out, we'll kill the deer. It bleed, we gut him. And then stand there and take a picture with him. That's why men make better warriors. We make better warriors. We do. We make better warriors. Now, I know some women in the army, that's all I think. I ain't fine. But men make better warriors. We can detach ourselves emotionally and we can kill easy. Women, women, they can shop. They don't go shopping, they go shop. And so, brothers, you have to make adjustments. You have to understand. That's what they do. Then go and spend, you know, 2-3 hours walking around looking at people's stuff that they're not going to buy. Now, because a man is a warrior, whatever he sets his mind to do, he can do it. Whatever your husband, see, in that your husband is here, he has set his mind to have a good relationship, he can do it. Whatever we set our minds to do, we master it. Amen, amen. Now, in Ephesians chapter 5, I want you to look at this. Because of these differences, it doesn't mean that we have to be at odds. That is what mutual submission is all about. I respect that we're different. I respect that we're not the same. It says there in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So I accept that we're different. I accept that she's not me and I'm not her. I accept that we process information totally different. I accept that and I respect that. Now, what I had to do was I had to make an adjustment so I could throw out some garbage that I had been, that I picked up along the way. Now, I am not blaming anybody in my family. I'm not blaming my father or anything like that. But this is information that I picked up along the way. Here is what most men expect of women. Number one, they expect them to respect him without question. No accountability. I don't have to be accountable to anybody. I'm a man. Number two, to never challenge his decision. Because I'm a man, I know best. Number three, to obey him without reservation. Because after all, I'm always right. To care for his natural needs. You're supposed to work, cook, work around the house, cook, clean up. That's woman's work. To care for his sexual needs on demand. Because your body is his property. To help him with his goals. Because your goals are not important. To work and help him make a living. Because after all, he's working too. See, you got married thinking you're going to sit down. Mm-hmm. But men don't want you to sit down. I married you, you were working. You have made these bills too.
Everybody not laughing, that's okay.
Men expect women to work miracles with little money. We have a hard time relating to what things cost. So I tell the brothers, every now and then you need to go shopping at the grocery store to see how much stuff costs. Because you think she's spending too much. Because we expect him to take a little money and work miracles. So because they are not meeting these expectations that we have, You know, she has some goals that are important to her. I want to go to school. You don't need to go to school. What do you need to go to school for? Well, I want to go to school because I want to learn. No, you don't need to go to school. But now if he wanted to go to school, that's important. We need to do whatever we need to do, cut back where we need to be cut back, because you know I want to go to school. If he wants to buy a bowling ball, that's important. Bowling ball, important. New sneakers, important. You want to get your hair done? Well, you just got it done last week. And how come you can't do it yourself? I know I'm right. Can I have an amen, ladies? Yeah. I mean, how come you can't do it yourself? My sister used to do her hair. My mama used to do her hair. How come you can't do your own hair? You can save that money. So, what happens is when you damage your wife, God puts in her a desire to please you, but when you damage the merchandise, she shuts down this desire to please you and becomes very resentful and bitter. So just your presence turns her off. And you wonder why it's hard for her to make love to you. Because when a woman makes love, it's more than the sexual act. It encompasses the whole relationship. What I am to you, how you've treated me. So she responds to you. She takes your negative responses, your little snotty remarks, and she gives them back to you in a greater measure. She rebels and resents your attempt to lead her. Because she's kept a record of all your mistakes that you've forgotten. Y'all hang in here, brothers. Now y'all hang in here with me, brothers. Hang in here with me. It's your day today, but next week it's their time. Can your brothers hang with me? Yeah. Then what happens is she start entertaining thoughts. I can do bad. I do bad by myself. And the devil always sends along somebody to testify who has been in a marriage, who's out of a marriage, who's now free. So, brothers, what we have to do is we have to make adjustments. We have to begin to see our wives as the daughters of God. You have to make adjustments. I want every brother to put his hand right next here, right here, right here, right here. Put your hand right here, like you got a knob on your head. Come on, and let's crank it. Make an adjustment. Click, click. Let's crank. Make an adjustment. Got it? Just make that adjustment. Click. Got it? Because we got to start looking at them differently so we can value them. So you devalued her, and so because you devalued her, you damaged the merchandise. What God has given to you to be a blessing, you follow me? What God has given to you to fulfill you is no longer fulfilling because she shut down. She has in her to be everything you need because she is your helpmeet. Even Adam had sense enough to know after Eve messed up that he couldn't make it without her. So when God evicted him from the garden, he took Eve by the hand and said, come on, baby, let's go. We can make it. He didn't walk off from her and say, you got me in this mess. But he understood this connection with his future fulfillment with his wife. Look at your wife if you're sitting next to her and tell her, baby, I need you. Hallelujah, glory. All right, y'all hold it now. Hold it now. Y'all just. Y'all said that in one of them deep romantic voices.
Did I need you?
Oh, glory. So what we have to do, brothers, you have to make an adjustment. Got it? We were told to hide money. You can't hide money. They're equal partners. Can you imagine what this church would be without a Bridget? Can't you see her value in my life? Can't you see her value in the ministry here? I mean, can you actually think that one time I thought she was dumb and stupid? See, I only thought that because she wouldn't do what I told her to do. But I had to respect her. She's a woman. She's an adult. Amen, amen, amen. All right. Now, what you cannot do is try to beat your wife into submission. Mistake. Everybody say, bad mistake.
Bad mistake.
Bad mistake. Don't try to do that. So what we have to do now is we have to make adjustments in how we see them. And our closing, just a few moments ago after we closed out, it may not be on tape, so let me say it again. See, the Bible says that a man's glory is his wife. She's my glory. She's a reflection of me. Follow me? You can know what a man thinks about himself by looking at how he treats his mate. So when I see a man all dressed up and his wife, you know, underdressed, I understand this brother does not understand who his wife is. And he really doesn't think very highly of himself. Now we're talking about God's way. Got it? See, when you're in competition in the home, you're trying to get as much as she gets. Well, it takes more to manage a woman's life than it does a man. You can take a pair of socks and wham, you know, and wash them, of course, for a year, you know. Wash, you know, so, y'all know that's right. I mean, a woman can't wear a pair of stockings, you know, for no whole year. It takes more money. But now, if you don't see yourself as partners and you see yourself as a competitor, then what you're trying to do is tip for tap. What you got? I'm going to get the same thing. No. Now, what happens there is this principle, this reciprocal principle. What I cause good to happen for others, God makes happen for me. Follow me? So what I have to do now, and this, ladies, if you have been damaged, and let's say your husband is not aware of the damage, what we have to do is we have to build your self-image up. I'm going to give you some things to do to work on your self-image, because you got to know who you are so you won't take any, you know, you won't be selling for a discount relationship. And if you don't know who you are, you'll sell for some discount. Thank God Bridget didn't sell for a discount. If I had had my way, I'd be miserable, and so would she. Now, amen, amen, amen. How you see yourself is a product of things that have happened to you in the past. If you've been told by your husband you're dumb and stupid, if you've been put down time and time again, it affects you. You've been told you're ugly, you're not pretty, you need to be happy, he married you because nobody else wants you. That's a game that husbands play on their wives, that mental game. Ladies, let me help you. There's some things that you need to do to build your self-image. There are 12 things that you need to do. Because if your self-image is not good, you will not be able to stand up for what is rightfully yours in the relationship. Crying hasn't helped. You need to cry your last tear. And then prophesy over it on the Kleenex. I have cried my last tear. It is time to go to work to bring some change. Throw the Kleenex away and say, you are the last tear I will ever cry over this situation. Crying has not brought change. I'm getting ready to make some changes. The first change you're going to be making is in yourself. Men like strong women. Amen. More ground you give him, the more he'll take. Say, Pastor, what are you doing to my home? Pastor, what are you doing? First of all, ladies, you've got to extract who you are from what God's word says. That's who you are. You're what God's word says. You're not dumb. You're not stupid. You're not ugly. You're not dumb. You're not stupid. You're not ugly. You've got to tell yourself who you are. Here's how you build your self-image. Let me talk about some symptoms of a poor self-image. Let's see if we can't see if you're in the group. Making unnecessary adjustments to make other people like them. People with poor self-image, they're searching for who they are. They think other people think about them what they know about themselves. So you're thinking when people look at you, because you're pleasingly plump, you think they're looking at you and you're talking about you. People are not talking about you. Folk got their own problems. They laugh at negative remarks about them to ease the pain and keep from confronting people. When people have poor self-images. Okay? Here's what you have to do. Number one, always smile and give direct contact. It conveys a confidence born out of self-respect. Learn to do that. Smile and learn to look people in the eye. Number two, always answer your phone pleasantly when others call and give your name before asking for the other party when you call a person. When calling other people, always give your name. This underscores that you feel you're a person of worth. Number three, listen to inspirational tapes as you drive. You'll arrive at your destination emotionally charged. Listen at it during the day, building yourself up, who you really are. Invest in your knowledge and skill development. In other words, you have to have purpose. Whatever you like to do, invest in it so that you can be good at something. Always say thank you to others because it conveys that you're a person who's able to give compliments. Number six, when you make a mistake, don't view a mistake as a failure. Just view it as a learning experience. Don't make excuses for your shortcomings. Just own up to your failures and own up to it and repent and get going again. Number seven, spend a designated day doing something that you really want to do. Call it your day. Guard your day. Don't let others steal your day from you. Got children, you got to have your day. Got it? That's your day. And it may be, I'm not talking all day where you got to go away home and all that. No, that's not what I'm talking about. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying, but there needs to be something that you do that you like because you can give yourself away to everybody and not have anything for yourself. That's like Pastor. Pastor always tell you, I'm not going to help everybody else find abundant life and miss it myself. I am not going to miss abundant life and helping everybody else find it. So on time for my vacation, I'm going on vacation. All right. Find a successful role model, study them, and imitate their characteristics and virtues. It's God's order to train us by example. Number 9, make daily confessions. Now, I gave you in your prayer journal, there's 15 confessions, 15 freedom truths. Confess them every day. When you hear yourself critiquing and speaking negatively and criticizing other people, stop immediately and rephrase your statements where it's a positive. Because see, what most people do when they're miserable, they try to put other people down. Look for ways to encourage others and build them up. Somebody call you and they're talking about somebody, find out something good to say about the person they're talking about. And then tell them, hey, look, this is a better way to handle and see yourself. Schedule time for prayer and meditation because it's a time of refreshing yourself. Then number 13, develop a life change plan. I want to get on this right now, take a few moments to talk about your life change plan. The Bible says we all need to know how to possess our vessel. Now, life change plan is you have to identify what causes you to go off. Now, brother, this is for you too. There's certain things that just tick you off, right? Certain things in the relationship that you, anytime it happens, you blow it. Act a fool. Aren't there some situations that when your mate does certain things, just. For instance, you may be married to an unbeliever, and they come home, you know, drunk, want to make love. You don't want to make no love, he ain't bathing. You know, that smelling like a brewery. You don't want to make no love like that. Well, see, there comes a time when you have to confront that situation. Now, on that line, you just may have a husband don't want to bathe anymore. He ain't drunk, he just don't want a baby, he smell. And he wants to crawl in the bed, some all musty and stinky, and he want to play hoppy horse. And that's one ride you ain't going to enjoy. How long you gonna put up with that? Y'all know I'm telling the truth. See, some brothers, they quit bathing when they got married. I mean, when you were caught them, they bathed for you. Really, they had, you know, they bathed when they got to go out and they put on cologne and some of them did do this, wiped off. Once they got married, you understand, when you get married, you let the garbage out. No, he ain't bathing once a week, maybe. That was just something we just threw in. You know what I'm saying? Life change plan. All right, here's your life change plan. Establish in your heart a clear direction for your life that you're not going to let anything steal your joy from you and rob your peace. See, your state is a matter of choice, not of situation. And you have to decide. Nothing's going to rob your peace from you. So I made that choice in my life. Nothing's going to steal my peace. People call me and they be all excited. That's the first thing I say, calm down. So I'm not trying to minimize your problem, but I just decided I'm not going to get upset about anything. So just calm down. No, just let's calm down. See, the Bible says the fruits of righteousness are sown in peace. So I'm not going to get in a frantic state, you know, just to communicate to you that I care. I do care, but I'm not going to get upset. I just made the choice. I don't have to. My staff, they do say, they be all excited. I say, calm down. Calm down. Decide you're going to always have a peaceful state about you. Number 2. Identify threats to your commitment to peace and your commitment to change. If it's a relative who calls you, talk about your husband, quit talking to him. Or just let them know, look, from now on, I cannot talk to you because I'm not going to have you talking about my husband. But child, you better listen to me. I'm trying to tell you, he ain't no good. Well, he's my no good. And I love my no good thing. Think of how you can handle these distressful situations in a manner that will glorify God, and write that plan down. Now, I'm going to talk to you about writing love letters and writing confrontational letters a little later. But many times you can just start leaving a little note. Got it? Or plan a time where you can sit down and talk to your husband and let him know, hey, baby, and I love you. I love to make love to you. I love that. Oh, I love it. You know, you're a good lover. Follow me? But I just need you to do one thing. What? You got to be very tactful, because when you talk about a brother's love life, he's real sensitive on that. You got to just tell him, baby, you know, I remember we was courting how sweet you smell. Because a lot of y'all messed up before you got married. You know you did. Or you see, baby, in the early days when we were married, you know, how sweet you smell. And baby, you know, I bought you some cologne. I really want you to wear when we make love. And then you run his water. Be tactful, you got it? You can't go tell him, you just old stinking thing I am. So write it down. Discipline yourself to follow your plan regardless of how you feel. All right? If your plan needs to be modified, you modify it. It's important that you continue to work on a plan until you find a plan that works. But see, you're operating from a place of peace. And that's what has to happen. Not from a place of frustration, and that's a choice. Now let me give you some exercises for this week. How did your UFO go last week? UFO went well last week? Identifying offenses. Went well. Identifying forgivable offenses. Pebble, rock, stone. Brothers, how'd you go? How'd you go? Did she hit you with some rocks this week? Huh? Some pebbles, huh? I heard myself. Pebbles. Here was a pebble. How many of y'all, how many of you participated? Actually cited a pebble, rock, or stone this week. All right. Some of y'all didn't even play the game, huh? Oh, y'all just doing it. Everything was so sweet and so lovely. Oh, I understand. That's good. You got it worked out. Here's what we're going to do this week. We're going to do an MRI this week. Manage relationship improvement. We're going to pass out some cards to you. I'm going to get you some cards. This is a little card. They have five things you can do to strengthen your marriage. Five things you can do to strengthen your marriage. I want you to write it. I want you to write five things down. I want you to bring them next week. Five things you can do. You have to talk with your wife about it, because this is what you can do to make it better. Five things you can do to make it better. All right? And then what we're going to do with these, we're going to show you how to start setting up guidelines in your home. In our next talk, what we're going to deal with is how we're going to deal a little bit more with self-image, because that's important. Because how you perceive what's happening around you is going to affect how you respond. If you don't have a good self-image, you don't know how to receive love. Your husband brings flowers. What's that for? What you want? I guess your woman didn't want them, huh? See, you don't feel you're worth flowers. You don't feel you're worth it. So when he brings you something nice, you don't just use flowers. But when he brings something nice, wants to do something nice, you feel that there's a hidden motive. Because it's really because you don't feel that you're worth it. Ain't got nothing to do with him. It's all with you. In your head, you need to make an adjustment. And I know people are so messed up in their heads that they really cannot receive love. They are suspicious of everything. You got it? So you have to make some adjustments. And when you begin to start telling yourself who you are, that's how you're making adjustments in how you think. That you're a person of value. See, I'm a person of value. I had to make some, I had a lot of baggage. I really did. Y'all see Pastor now, but boy, y'all don't know how Pastor was. Pastor was all messed up in the head. You wouldn't have liked me back then. That's why I didn't have no members. God couldn't trust me. Follow me? I mean, because our marriage was all messed up. But we made some adjustments. I made adjustments in my thinking. And one of the craziest things, Bridget used to think I had my girlfriend. And then I was hanging out late at night with the fellas, going to drink coffee at Dennis. If you go by Dennis right tonight, you're going to see some preachers in there drinking coffee. So I'm drinking coffee late at night. And my love, I had a small church, so I ain't have much money. So I wasn't giving her no money. So again, no money, and he ain't coming home. What that smell like? Smell like a woman, you understand? So I'm getting all upset because she's accusing me, and I ain't doing nothing. So I went to an older minister who knew my life, and I told him, I said, Bridget, think I got me a woman? You know I ain't got no woman. He said, well, what you doing here? I said, well, you know, I'd be drinking coffee, you know, with the fellas at Denny. He said, that's because you don't want to leave. You have to stay there till everybody leave, because you leave, they'll talk about you. So you ain't want to leave. You got to, we all have to leave together. So if you leave early, then they're going to talk about you. So, because when they leave, you talk about them. See, so you don't want to have to stay there, you know. So, you know, I'd be drinking coffee till 12, 1 o'clock. So he said, well, tell you what you do. Then I told him, I said, and then, you know, she's saying, I ain't got no money. Well, he said, well, you let her count to love? I said, no, it's my money. She said, what? He said, look, number one, you take your little tail home at night. And number two, you let her count that love offering with you. See, what I was doing was giving a perception that I was doing something on the side, even though I wasn't. So true enough, I never forget the first time I let Bridget count the love offering. She said, is this it? She said, what am I? This is it. This is all? I said, baby, that's all. See, she thought I had a whole bunch of money and was giving some to this woman and that woman. She said, this. I said, baby, that's it. She developed a great appreciation for us being able to stretch what we had. But from that day to this day, she's never thought or accused me of another woman. See, I was doing something. I was giving a false impression. I'm giving a different impression. I had to make a change. Follow me? So I let her count the money, and I took my little self home. Told the fellas told the fellas. See, fellas used to come by my church and wait for my service to be over so we could all go to dance. Like on a night like this, it'd be some guys out in the parking lot waiting for us to end. And then we end, I send Bridget home, and I say, I'll be there a little bit, then I go with the fellas. And then I'll be dragging in by 1 o'clock. Say that was his dumb day. So I quit that. Told the guys, I'm going to work on my marriage. So they said, you're going to be henpecked. No, I'm not henpecked. I'm a real man. I found out she was a better money manager than I was. Amen. I'm out of time. Amen. All right.